gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Boy, you wake up with a false eyelash stuck to your cheek and gaffer tape in your hair. You know it's been a long night on Larry King. What did that man do to me last night?
Were you doing a gaffer?
I don't know. I woke up with tape in my hair. Seriously.
Huh.
All right.
You know what a gaffer is.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. The Larry King Live appearance for the hour is up there if you'd like to check
and
it out.
And on your Facebook page.
Thank you. Exactly. You know, this hour is brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. I sense something purple and sexy next to me.
Steffi. Oh,
what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump days with House Fox?
Yes! Yes!
Something purple and engorged, and his name is Hal Sparks, and he's in a purple shirt. Just like we all are for Anti-Bullying Day.
It's true.
All right, mine's a little bit navy-ish, because you asked me, it was all over the news, that you're supposed to wear purple today?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't have time to watch the news. I am the news.
You were the news last night.
I was
night.
On the news. I don't have time to watch it.
For the hour.
For the hour.
Any question at home, Chris is wearing a lavender polo.
It's the best I could do.
Yeah, it's as purpley as he could come up with.
Yeah.
As a Prince fan, have at the ready 9 or 10 purple items at any given point. Today I'm wearing a threadless shirt that is completely purple.
Where is our... give him a Prince tribute for his purple.
Yeah, absolutely.
Purple. Just because. And it's raining here. And it's raining in L.A. today, which is purple rain, of course.
Absolutely.
Purple
That's
rain.
From Baby, I'm a Star.
Yes, it is.
Wow. In honor of Anti-Bullying Day, it is raining purple rain here in Los Angeles.
Never meant to cause you any sorrow. I never meant to cause you any pain.
That was really good. That was good.
Only one of one times you laughing. Only just sing in the purple rain. Purple rain.
Right. I can't stand the rain. All right.
What was that?
That was Tina Turner. It's our favorite rain songs.
Who love rain
against my window.
We're just doing rain songs, you know?
Okay, it's not important that the show make any sense this morning, apparently.
I guess not.
Here is actually a really, I thought, a very a hopeful story. There are a lot of hopeful stories on gay rights, obviously, today.
Yep.
We are wearing, and by the way, we should say all bullying, not just for
absolutely
kids that are perceived as gay. But anyway, one of my dear friends here in Los Angeles went to her son was getting bullied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times when you're that age, it's just a perception. Mm-hmm. The kids don't know what they are or aren't or whatever. It's a perception that you're different in some way, and then it becomes the school, and she said, "My son is being bullied. I do not want to be the next mother that is dealing with a suicide."
Yep.
Anyway, the kids got expelled yesterday. The bullying kid got expelled.
Wow.
They have a zero tolerance policy. And the good news is that the mother's called totally apologetic. And,
right.
I mean, it just in some ways, I feel like it's great because it's bringing people together. They were totally unaware.
Right.
So they addressed the problem and said, but I mean, I just think that's maybe where you need to start is zero tolerance for bullying, period, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the parents were not aware. And so
where are those kids going to get educated now?
Who cares? Anyway, no. I mean, my point is that obviously what are you going to do?
Exactly. But, where are those kids going to get? Are they just going to become complete delinquents now?
Well,
I doubt it. It's in Malibu.
right. It was actually Malibu style bullying.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of like a lot of. You're not wearing G-Star Raw, are you?
No, and I understand that's an issue.
Well,
can't kick every kid out of school. But I mean, but then how do you stop bullying? Because it really is a huge epidemic, isn't
it? And,
so
in many ways, it always has been. And And but it's taken a serious turn as far as its ramifications in the last, especially 15 years, is that it's gotten more violent. It's always been there. But I think a lot of people who are fighting against any kind of curbs on it envision it like a 1950s kind of biff bullying.
Right.
And it's not the same now. It's, you know, it's more in line with the Columbine shootings and that mentality than it is just kind of, you know, some guy giving you crap for the wrong clothes.
It's, I mean, ideally, Chris, I don't know what's going to happen in this case, but maybe there's a coming together of parents and teachers and, you know, and then at least it stops it. It's, I mean, so, you know, you don't know if they're going to get reinstated or whatever, but it sends a message.
Yeah.
So,
and bullying today is way more than Roman Gomez calling me fat over and over and over and over again.
You know, it's not, and thank God you've never held on to that.
No, I never have at all.
Thank God you've gotten over that.
Yeah, I'm totally over it.
Right. On the upside, it did drive you to
you're
the gym. You're
so living in the past.
Regularity.
All right. And if Carol Fisher hadn't beaten me up in front of the Y, I wouldn't even bring that up. Now, all right. So the other, of course, breaking news yesterday, a federal judge formally refused to let the Pentagon reinstate its ban on openly gay men and women in the U.S. military while it appeals her decision declaring the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get to the point where if this even drives Rachel Maddow to drink on the air, I was watching a piece from the other night. It's like, this is really, huh? Because then we got talking. Okay, what does it does make it confusing. You're
absolutely
going, okay, this is really good, except that's, okay, but wait a minute, but how the...
Until the act of Congress overturns the policy permanently, because they can't allow single federal judges to overturn congressional law. That's why, by the way, the White House had to appeal it.
Right.
And why the Justice Department will always appeal when a federal judge tries to declare any law, even if somebody did the health care, you know, like basically, so things like the health care bill. If you allow Don't Ask, Don't Tell to be declared by one, you know, federal, you know, or Ninth Circuit judge, but without going to the Supreme Court, unconstitutional, and just go, okay, we're going to operate as if, then almost any law can be established like that, and it creates a very murky zone. So the Justice Department has to take it all the way to the Supreme Court, even if they agree with it. And that is in a very sticky zone with this new ruling.
Dan Choi, we were talking about reenlisted yesterday,
right?
Which is great, but this is why all of this is so ridiculous. Like these couples that are out here in California that are in this legal gray area where they got married before the Prop 8, and now what happens to the Dan Choi's if then now this gets. Because now they've already told, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's like...
Because if some state does
have
it.
I mean, that's why this is so ridiculous, all of this. I mean, it's just... Well, hopefully. What do we, you know, put them all on the island of misfit toys if everything gets overturned?
One of the big, real attacks on Prop 8 was the idea that we have two classes of gay citizens now in California. We have gay people who are married during a short window who are allowed to keep their marriage intact.
Right.
And other people, as you say, they have the right to this existence, but other people don't is an absurdity in the legal zone.
Exactly.
So, yeah. The same thing occurs in some ways if, for example, Lieutenant Dan Choi reenlisted yesterday. If they try to overturn this and they actually say, no, they do put a stay on this, then does he get to stay in because he was in this window of people who signed up, during a temporary hold on Don't Ask, Don't Tell? And if so, why are there some people who get to be gay and out in the military, but if somebody else comes out after that window,
it's absurd. You're right. It has created legal absurdities.
Yeah. And hopefully, this will just flat out drive Congress to act and vote on it and end it once and for all.
Oh, I'm sure John McCain will be very cooperative with that.
Not the policy. But we got to root these people out.
Yeah. And John McCain has said that he will filibuster any attempt to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
They played that clip on Larry King last night, him talking about Senator Boxer. What a nasty bag of ass John McCain has become, seriously. Like, you know, so much for the comedy of the Senate. I mean, it just was, it's like, you need to get that personal and, like, what?
Well, and keep in mind, this is we got to listen to the generals. And then the generals say, it's a terrible policy.
Yeah, I can't hear you.
Awful. And he said he couldn't be more, by the way, proud of Sarah Palin recently. He said,
be more proud?
I could be.
I could be a little bit more. Cordell in Kentucky on your bullying story on Anti-Bullying Day. Hi, Cordell.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody.
A good purple rain morning from Los Angeles to you.
Well, it's funny you Mitch start off the morning by talking about bullying, it kind of made me remember my experiences growing up in North Carolina. I grew up in a part of North Carolina where, you know, pretty much everybody knows who you are, so you can't cause any trouble without there being any consequences. For the first, I guess, you know, 17, 18 years of my life, I've been nothing but bullied. People would tease me, you know, on the way to school.
Mm-hmm.
People would, you know, throw spitballs at me, you know, paper airplanes at me. And surprisingly, you know, to my parents, you know, surprise, I took it for all those years.
Why, Cordell, can I ask you why? I mean, why do you feel you were bullied?
Well, I wasn't like, you know, the typical teenager at the time. Everybody was about, you know, going to nightclubs, you know, getting with, you know, the opposite, you know, sets, you know, drinking, you know, doing drugs. And I just, you know, didn't see the point of doing that. During the time, I was more focused on trying to get into college and figuring out what I wanted to do, you know, with my life. And, you know, in that part of North Carolina, if you were perceived as, quote, a nerd, you were teased and bullied. I mean,
well, that's it. That's exactly it. People, you know, and we that should be pointed out, that it isn't just anti-gay. It's any perception of anything that's different. And, you know, and that's something that, I'm sorry, a lot of these, you know, Republican candidates in this cycle, they're adult bullies.
Absolutely.
And that's why you got to stand up to the bullies, because they send the message it's okay.
Yep.
You know, this class are second-class citizens, you know?
And one of the, like, the ramifications that they need to be made aware of is that when they attack gay people for wanting to get married or wanting equal rights, the downhill effect of that attack is making LGBT teens who are just discovering who they are and just dealing with that fact.
Yeah.
And
they see the adult bullies like Carl Palladino in the news and think these are prominent people and this is okay to be like this.
Right.
I'm currently the victim of an adult bully in my personal life, which I may not talk about at some point.
Really?
That's all you can do is stand in the light. Stand against the dark. That's all you can do.
There you go.
All right. I wasn't that.
That's a tease.
Wasn't that circumspect.
Uh-huh.
You know, kids, I have stuff on my computer.
Lots of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Indeed.
I've heard this.
Photos, music, things
I've read these things.
Things I collect for the show. I think I'm going to put Hal Sparks' new Prince impression in there. Just because I like it.
Or my iPhone app.
And it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. Or Hal Sparks' iPhone app.
Mm-hmm.
Hal Sparks has a new iPhone app. And we have all sorts of fancy new things on StephanieMiller.com.
We'll tell you about it after the break.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
18 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, the whole thing seems a little twisted to me.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. In the midst of the hump days with the Hal, Carl Frisch from Media Matters coming up to co-host Right Wing World next hour, and Gail King.
Nice.
Yes, in hour number 3.
Oprah's buddy.
Really? I hadn't heard that. Is she friends with Oprah?
I heard that.
That's so little publicized.
I know.
She has a fabulous radio show right here on KTLK, our flagship affiliate here in Los Angeles, where it is purple raining.
It is.
Yes.
Oh. How cute is that?
That was perfect.
Just when you think Hal Sparks can't get cuter. We can
run that noise now, baby. That's why I'm a star. Woo.
Okay.
Baby,
feel free to unleash your own Prince impression in honor of the anti-bullying Purple Rain here in Los Angeles.
You wind him up and he
yeah, just, you can't say Prince and
the
then
Prince
I just go.
The Prince bot must be deactivated now.
You have to understand, when I was in high school and I first saw a picture of Prince without his shirt on, I was like, oh my God, I do look like somebody. Like I basically
I'm delirious.
I had the same physique as Prince, and I was like, oh, thank God, there's someone who exists in the world who's like me. And honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
here's
oh,
a weird
just,
fun you know, fact. I've mentioned this before. An old friend of mine was Prince's gym teacher in Minneapolis.
That is so random.
He did a great job.
I don't think he was quite the athlete.
He was, actually. He's
was
an amazing he? Basketball player, if you watch, especially if you watch the Dave Chappelle bit.
He's actually as big as a basketball.
That's true. It'd be like losing to a Keebler elf, but still.
Karen in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Mama. Hal, by the way, you had my husband when we watched Charmageddon at your first joke about your accent.
Oh, right on. Okay.
He loved that one. We were just rolling.
Excellent.
About what you did with your accent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, indeed.
She's still chuckling.
How I got rid of it. We can't mention it on the air.
No.
What I did with it.
Anyway, you have not lived until you've been bullied all through your childhood, all through junior high, all through high school by girls.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, it's like this morning Dowd column we were talking about, Karen, about Republican mean girls. They really do remind you of the girls that bullied you in school.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and then at the time, my only diagnosis was just being a weird kid.
Right.
My diagnosis now is Asperger's syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And, you know, I have two children with autism. And let me tell you, you think Sarah Palin is a mama grizzly? Try me.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kenji, I hate to give you a flashback, but don't you remember that girl in the locker room in high school?
Mine were the ones that cornered me.
Yesterday.
Oh, my God. Look at your hair, Karen.
No, mine was the one that cornered me on the playground with playground aides watching. It had me cornered against a wall.
Yep.
Threatening me. And the only reason I survived junior high is my cousin was a big man on campus and basically sent his girlfriend after these girls and said that if they didn't leave me alone, this girl was going to pound them.
All right. Yes. Other violence. That's how it must be addressed. The threats of other. The bigger person.
Mm-hmm.
Don, my right-wing love muffin in Rockford, Illinois. Hello, Don.
Good morning. I'd like to know how you think you're not a bully when basically vitriol, insults, mocking, denigration, harassing.
I think mainly because we're dealing with adults and we're dealing with people who are equal, by the way, equal to our position in the world
people
higher.
Power.
Because you can't actually bully someone who has control over, the purse strings of your environment.
Don, in my opinion, Sarah Palin is one of the biggest bullies we've ever had in politics. So, what we try to do on this show is stand up to the bullies.
I don't see it. I don't see her. Okay.
Of course you don't. That's because you haven't.
Really? So saying the president pals around with terrorists and all of the other nasty crap she said during the...
Lies.
Yeah, during the campaign. None of that was... That was all fine.
That's not appropriate. That's bullying. I mean, I just wanted to be fair on both sides. You guys do nothing but vitriol against anybody.
Well, vitriol is not the same as bullying. You can call somebody out.
Yes,
no, it isn't, because you can call somebody out for what they say and what they do and offer your opinion to it. Bullying is when someone is at a lesser station than you, has less control. Yes, it is. Because
how can you actually
bully someone that's...
You're trying to take somebody down a peg when you're trying to ruin them. That's exactly what bullying
Don,
is.
Don, excuse me. How is Carl Palladino not a bully? How is someone that threatens to take a reporter out... And then you, on the same day that there's this horrific anti-gay violence in New York, and after a kid had just jumped off the George Washington Bridge because he was gay, how is that not bullying, the comments he made about gay people?
That's stupidity, and he's not going to be elected.
Okay, so he's just being stupid, we're being bullies, because he's actually affecting people, children's lives in his attitude, what he talked about. Yeah.
Where was his vitriol towards homosexuals? Where was his vitriol?
Really?
Are you kidding? Do you think that would be offensive to homosexuals, what he said? That he doesn't want to teach kids that's a valid or successful option in life?
That's an absolutely appropriate position, especially for people...
Oh, it's appropriate for a homophobe.
Sure.
It's appropriate for people who are not homosexuals. They should not be dabbling or engaging in homosexuality.
Dabbling or engaging.
Oh,
okay.
All right. You heard him out there, you dabblers.
Something tells me Don is a bully.
Where would you get that idea?
Stop dabbling. Dive in.
Easily offended. We're stepping into
Stephanie.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
All right, I don't know what's happening here, but look, I'm a lot of things. A member of Mensa, a huge hit with the ladies, someone who, you know, would have broken out bigger if she weren't so impossible to work with.
What are you laughing at?
What?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34
minutes. I'm laughing with you.
34 minutes after the hour. Yes, everybody, we're going to get to the Anita Hill story because that.
Yeah.
Julie writes, some say Ginny Thomas was drunk dialing. My husband Jerry tells me.
At 7:30 on a weekend morning?
That only some callers were saying only brown liquor in your breakfast orange juice could explain calling someone at 7:30 in the morning to ask for an apology over something someone said about your asshat husband 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. That is, oh, God, is that rich.
Well, this Ginny Thomas is quite the conservative activist.
Yes.
Yes, and so she's a bit of an asshat herself.
That's the greatest story ever.
Stop bullying the wife of a Supreme Court justice who has control over all of us.
All right. Speaking of teasing, I have a great story for my personal life. It goes along with that, trust me. She said it was a peacemaking gesture. She was offering her the opportunity to apologize.
Yeah, oh, that's nice of her.
As a peacemaking gesture.
That's sweet.
Ah. Okay, let's go to Jeff in Orange County. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jeff.
To the right-wing love muffin from, embarrassingly, my mother's hometown of Rackford,
Illinois.
Rackford.
When you take an initial stance to denigrate another where no issue exists currently, you're being a bully. When you respond to it as you guys do, that's being a responsible citizen.
Thank you. Thank you. There you go.
Verbal hug.
Ding, ding. Ring the bell. School's in, sucker.
Mm-hmm.
There you go,
wow.
John. All right, let's go to Madeline in Sparks, Nevada. Hello, Madeline.
Hi. Listen,
Sparks calling for Hal Sparks.
Oh, yes. Listen on this bullying thing. My son is in a wheelchair. And 1,000 years ago, when he was in middle school, he was the object of every kind of bullying you could imagine. They would dump him over in his wheelchair. Mm. They would hit him. They would block the bathroom so he couldn't get in.
Right.
The topper was when somebody spat in his face, and he complained about it. The principal said, and I quote, "Well, it's your fault," and made the other kid pupil of the month.
Whoa, man.
Then I just say, welcome to Sparks, Nevada.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sorry to hear that.
But he's got the best revenge.
Oh, wow. How?
He is absolutely...
He's Stephen Hawking today.
No, he's successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is he? Good.
Totally successful.
Great.
And the others are kind of knuckle draggers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, most of the time, a lot of these bullies are losers. You know?
And it does get better.
Yeah. Thank you. You can watch Mama's It Gets Better video. It Gets Better. Is it itgetsbetter.com or where are
they?
No, it's on the YouTubes.
I think it's itgetsbetterproject.com, but it's on YouTube. Just search for Stephanie Miller.
I just did one for the No Hate campaign.
Sweet.
You know, I was there with, and Tori Spelling was there. And,
you name dropper.
It was funny just kind of being.
You know, Jason Priestley told me you're such a name dropper.
Yeah, right. But only on the campus of Beverly Hills High School.
Yeah, West Beverly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't want. I didn't.
Joe in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Joe.
Guys and gal.
Hello.
Boy, I'm trying to wrap my head around your old buddy Don there. So when you hold someone accountable for their actions or what they say, you're a bully?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, what do you think he conserves? He's a conservative. What does he conserve?
I think the multinational's right to have all the rights of a human being and none of the consequences of their actions.
Yeah.
Praise Alito, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I love you guys.
I love you back.
Thank you.
All right. Google is a weapon, Hal Sparks. Your thoughts?
Well, it sounds
being
like
the,
one.
Internet boink, boink, geek boink. Of these.
Point, point, yeah.
Oh, by the way, Hal Sparks has a new iPhone app.
It's true.
Tell us all about it.
It's very exciting. You can actually watch the show when we stream the show every Wednesday, Hump Day. You
watch
can watch
it on
there.
Phone.
You can get my dates. For example, I'm in Hawaii this weekend. You can actually buy tickets to it.
Oh, I thought you meant your private ones. That one.
No, that's
there's
not enough memory in the phone right now. Maybe in a couple of updates.
He's a ladies man.
Yeah. And then and it's got like photos and music and other stuff that's just exclusive to the app because, since it's 99 cents, I figured you have to like give something that you can't get in. anywhere else that lives on there. It's really awesome, actually. And you can join the chat via that. You can Twitter via that. Of course, I'm at Hal Sparks, and you're at SM Show and at Radio Guy Chris.
That's right.
On the Twitter.
Yes.
And then, of course,
those are our handles.
You can actually join the chat, and you know, because at halsparks.com/Ustream, we're streaming right now. Of course, you can see Steph in her lovely purplish shirt, and you can see Chris in his lavender-ish shirt and on purple, and me in my blazingly prince-like purple shirt.
And speaking of high-tech wonders, where is my breezy infomercial music? There are some wondrous new things at stephaniemiller.com as well, Val.
That's very exciting. What, like what?
Well, Chris?
You don't
you
even know.
You have no idea. We have a new toolbar that goes along the bottom where you can like the page on Facebook.
Nice.
It takes you directly to your entire library of YouTube videos. You can tweet something directly from the page, and you can see how many people are on the page at a certain time.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But you got to make sure you have JavaScript turned on.
Oh. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, sure. Yeah. All right.
Did that make any sense to you, Stephanie?
Sure. I got it.
Sure.
All right.
You often tell me, remind me of things I tweeted about yesterday.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, yes.
Oh, that's right. I did do that. That's lovely.
I was on the Larry King with the lovely and talented Penn Jillette last night, and I don't know, some tea party asshat, and who can remember. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's up on the YouTube section there. It's Stephanie.
That's right.
Hello. I'm going to miss my Larry so much. He was on fire last night. He was singing show tunes to me during every commercial break. He's an old vaudeville man, really.
Oh, totally. Did you ever hear that thing? Mo Rocca always tries to, and I've talked to Mo about this, he tries to get Larry King to go off on a random tangent about old Hollywood, because that's really what Larry wants to be doing. He had no idea how he became a newsman of any sort. All he wants to talk about is how, Archie Leach was actually Cary Grant's name, and when he gathered together, you know, like this absurd kind of Jiminy Glick zone that he lives in.
Oh, I love him. I love him, love him, love him.
I'm looking at that banner at the bottom of StephanieMiller.com right now. It's a Wibby, thing.
Yes,
it's absolutely cool. Yeah, you can Twitter any particular story or image or anything at all on StephanieMiller.com.
Here's why it's puzzling that I'm in charge here. I forgot that I brought nearly 10 minutes ago. I brought this up because there's a story about Google.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, that.
And then I drive the bus off the cliff, and then I just sit there, befuddled.
Huh.
Grandma, why did you bring this up? Oh! Google! This is actually, it's another high-tech thing that's turning into a controversial thing. I've heard about this, but campaign director for Daily Kos is launching a behind-the-scenes campaign against 98 House Republican candidates that attempts to capitalize on voters' Google search habits in hopes of influencing midterm elections. You know what this is. They want Daily Kos' thousands of participants to dig up little-noted or controversial news stories about the candidates that, obviously could hurt chances with undecided voters, yada, yada. Users would click on the links and blog about the stories with the goal of boosting their rankings on search engines so that undecided voters will discover them more easily. He sees the campaign as a 21st century version of pamphleteering. He said Daily Kos readers are simply providing informational materials that are already out there in the same way that volunteers would hand out information to voters on the street. So naturally, it's causing a lot of controversy among conservatives who are screaming unfair like little girls. about whether this kind of campaign constitutes unfair manipulation of search engine results, it also could lead to reciprocal attacks. Yeah, once you use the power of the Google, that can cut both ways.
Oh, totally. That's right. Oh, we know that.
I don't do it anymore. Do not Google yourself, because you're right. Because like right wing asshats from years ago have stuff there that I'm like, what? What the hell? Get this off of here.
And you can't.
No.
Mm-mm. Not ever.
Yeah, but anyway, what's your take on that? You're very high-techy. They're saying it's trying to manipulate and Google's saying, no, our algorithms are too complicated, you can't manipulate it like that. But they're trying to get more negative stories to go further up, right?
They did that very successfully with Dig, and so they're trying to do it on a bigger scale. It was, it is harder to do. Ultimately, if you're going to do that on Google, you just have to buy a sponsored link. I mean, and during an election season where they're spending so much money, that's ultimately how it's going to go down. Like, whether it's this cycle or the next cycle, what you're going to see is somebody doing a collection page of all the bad stuff about somebody and doing a Google sponsored link about it. And that'll drive it right to the top, in the top three.
Yep.
Internet scuffling. It's all the rage.
But you're going to have to pay for it. And they want you to pay for it. That's why Google's algorithms are so complicated. Not because they're, trying to protect anybody, but because they'd rather you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
They're no dummies.
Nope.
I'm sure we've gotten into an internet scuffle or two. Who knows, Chris? We put out Stephanie Miller, number one progressive radio show in the country, and then Stephanie Miller, left-wing asshat.
Yeah.
No, put that down.
Naked on a bicycle with a stranger. Stephanie Miller kisses dogs. Film at 11.
Well, that's true. Who doesn't know that?
I know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Who doesn't know that I'm a drunken slag that French kisses my dogs? I mean, who doesn't know that?
Naked on a bicycle.
Naked
on a bicycle. Is there a picture of me naked on a bicycle? I don't remember.
I'm sure people are working on it right now.
I say it here and it comes out there. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back with more on the latest on the midterms. Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. It's a fabulous program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour, in the midst of the Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Frisch from Media Matters joins us in just a few minutes to co-host Right Wing World.
Who is awesome.
Yes.
Who is indeed awesome. And Frisch. And exciting.
Exciting.
And new. Mm-hmm. All right. Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary, talking about the midterms.
I think we are at a point in the election where we normally get to in every election where individuals are talking to their voters and trying to get them fired up.
And ready to go, presumably. Hal Sparks, how are you? I'm taking your temperature now.
I'm excited.
And I mean that in a dirty way.
I will be voting, actually, on my radio show this Saturday. I will be, because
awesome.
I vote early. I vote, you know, I have to use an absentee ballot every time because I never know when I'm going to be home.
Right.
Right.
So I got mine in the mail, and I'm going to be going through the process and the, you know, and being very pro-19, very anti-23 from a California standpoint,
yes.
which is... the legalization of pot for 19, mm-hmm. and of course 23 is the Koch brothers trying to turn off all of our environmental protections
right.
here in California.
Mm-hmm.
Three oil companies are funding this thing entirely. There's not a single grassroots activist behind it. It's all AstroTurf and BS. And so I'm going to try and kind of promote mm-hmm. that this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but how are you? I mean, how are you? Well, here's Joe Biden on the campaign trail yesterday mm-hmm. in Washington State.
I'm here to tell you that on November the 3rd, Patty Murray will be leading the Senate Majority Conference as secretary. Mm-hmm. She will.
Well,
she will.
As the happy clappy liberal segment. What do you think?
Yeah, I think.
Wouldn't that be something? That'd be so awesome. We kept the house. Oh. Teabagger heads exploding across the country.
Well, and I think that's part of the reason. I mean, you know, you've got the Tea Party are splitting a lot of the vote, and they kind of have to. If you are a legit teabagger, as you were,
yes,
you cannot vote for the standard crop of Republicans. You just cannot, because you know they're corporatists. You know they don't buy your line at all. And if you're going to say, I'm a matter of principle, if you're going to run on this constitutionality and that kind of idea, you've got to stand by it. Otherwise, it's the Tea Party just ends up being a conjuncted arm of the Republican Party, which arguably it is. But if you view yourself as this kind of perfect constitutional, you can't vote for Sharon Angle,
for example, the bigger story. Yeah. You don't know. The scuffle essentially between the Tea Party and the Republican establishment. Yeah, exactly. Oh, in fact, Sarah Palin on Monday warned Republican Party leaders if they do not adhere to the message of the Tea Party, the GOP may be through.
Oh,
right.
Really?
Oh,
that's what I mean.
Dear God, it's getting... Look out. She said, I think more of the machine within the GOP is going to understand that this... She's a bully. This we the people message is rising, and it's resonating throughout the independents with the hardcore conservatives with moderates because it's so full of common sense and time-tested truths that can put the economy on the right track. Heaven forbid the GOP machine strays from this message.
That sounds like a
She's
threat.
She's going to give the
it
GOP
is.
A swirly, apparently.
It
she,
is.
She said, if so, the GOP is through.
I'm wearing purple because Sarah Palin is bullying the GOP. And it's, she's a bully.
The GOP needs so much protection from bullies.
In many ways, she's trying to threaten them with the greater strength of the Tea Party movement that she thinks exists. Meanwhile, you know, there's 700 people on Rascal Scooters showing up at Glenn Beck's paid events. But never mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love and Karl Rove, I guess he'd be part of that GOP machine that needs to man up there also, too, in addition. Karl Rove credits the Tea Party with bringing new energy to them, which I say, yes, there's energy at a monster truck rally
yes,
as well.
This is true.
But he says when you take a look at the grassroots movement, it's, quote, not sophisticated.
Uh-huh.
Well,
he talked about the,
tell you that.
About the Reagan Revolution. He said it was a well-organized, coherent, ideologically motivated and conservative revolution. If you look underneath the surface of the Tea Party movement, on the other hand, you'll find that it is not sophisticated.
No.
Is how he described. Yeah, you know what it is? It's like picking up the Tea Party, it's like when you lift up a rock and there's like earthworms and potato bugs and
things that go scattering.
Racist and homophobic. Yeah, right. Just put that back down.
That's Karl Rove's opinion. but here's the thing. My favorite quote from that, because he was being interviewed by the German magazine Der Spiegel. He was being interviewed.
Was he asked about the guy who likes to dress as a Nazi?
Karl, spelled with a K, Rove, was being interviewed by Der Spiegel. And he said, it's not like these people have read The Economist Friedrich August von Hayek. Now, if a Democrat said something along those lines, the Tea Party
would
tear them.
And a lot of
elitist.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Meanwhile, the Tea Packers are like, Reed, what?
Yeah.
What's that?
In all honesty,
does that come in pop-up?
He is arguing, and by the way, when he says Tea Partiers and he's saying unsophisticated, he's not going after the ones who are following Sarah Palin around. He's going after the Ron Paul crowd because they're the ones they have to be concerned about.
It's becoming, you know, as Chris Matthews would say, the know-nothing crowd. I mean, when you look at this, I mean, they have candidates that are openly getting laughed at to their face, like Christine O'Donnell, who has no idea what's in the Constitution or not.
And has to be reminded of it during debates.
I mean, that was almost like a carbon copy of what Sarah Palin was like, and that she clearly had no clue. Christine O'Donnell.
Where in the Constitution is separation of church and state?
It's in an excellent point.
Hold on, please.
I also think you've just heard in the answers from my opponent and in her attempt at saying where is the separation of church and state in the Constitution reveals her fundamental misunderstanding of what our Constitution is, how it is amended, and how it evolves.
You're telling me that the separation of church and state is found in the First Amendment.
Government shall make no establishment of religion.
Oh, dear.
That's in the First Amendment.
Oh. Okay.
Oh my God.
The words.
It's every girl in class that was trying to fake their way.
Right.
What?
Is it wrong that I want to use her head like a conch shell?
It's going to be on the front. Do we have to know this?
Okay. The words separation of church and state are not in the Constitution.
No,
however,
apparently,
the yes, principle and the concept is the very first thing you get to in the First Amendment.
By the way, that's the defense that a lot of people have come to, that the actual words aren't in there. But she also followed it up by asking him, when he quoted it, whether those words were in it.
It was the same thing about, can you tell me a Supreme Court decision?
Totally.
No, it's a pop quiz.
Yeah.
She may be the one girl that didn't ask enough in school, do we have to know this?
But she didn't graduate. So. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I was bringing up the guy that likes to dress as a Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the Know Nothing Party, whoever the teabagger was last night on Larry King with me made the stupidest argument I have yet heard referring that. I brought up the guy that, and he goes, Stephanie, please, Tom Cruise wore a Nazi uniform. I'm like, actor.
He was.
And then Larry King goes, and he played a good Nazi.
Yeah, he played a Nazi who was fighting the bad Nazis.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this guy dressed up as a foreign Nazi sympathizer that chose to be part of the Nazi party while being treasonous to their own country. So you're stacking on top of it. These aren't the people who joined the Nazis just to protect themselves because they were afraid if they didn't, they'd be killed. These are like Swedes and Finnish people who decided, you know what, I like what the Nazis stand for. So much so that I want to renounce my own country, dress as a Nazi, and fight on their side within my own country, slitting the throats of my neighbors. And this is who this guy dresses up as, the 5th Panzer Division of the Reiching Division. The Reiching Division.
As I was saying, on the heels of this very same Christine O'Donnell, you remember when she was on her pro-truth thing and she was asked, in every instance, like if the Nazis came to your door looking for Jews, she's like,
the Lord would give me a way to say that truth.
Yes, you must be truthful. In fact, as we were saying, you have to go, it's not just those Jews, they lie. There's more Jews behind them.
I need to be completely honest. You're right. He's just totally. And the French farmer down the street has Jews under his floorboards. You might want to go down there and speak French to him first.
That was the scene in Inglourious Basterds. That was the opening scene in Inglourious Basterds.
As Jim said,
ooh,
on the show,
that's the bingo.
If Christine O'Donnell lived in Anne Frank's house, she'd be like, oh, there's one in the attic. Can't you hear?
Yeah, check up there.
But can't you hear her scribbling? Come on.
Yeah, right.
I'm just trying to be honest.
Yeah, you want to read some of her pages? I told her I'd give her notes. I thought it rambled in places. I told her that because I had to be completely honest with her.
That was wrong.
That was wrong.
That was the wrong level of talking about wrong. 58 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Mama for the hour. I'm Larry King Live up in the video section. You can email us all there as well. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice of Deity, Jim Moore, to me, Stephanie Miller. Hal Sparks is here. It's Hump Days with Hal. We are you streaming on the HalSparks.com.
Yes, this is true. And on the new Hal Sparks iPhone app. Thank you very much.
This is how they do it. This is how they do it with Jim Ward
on camera with the Stephanie Miller.
Wow. Right now. Really on camera. It's a close-up.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a good one. It looks good.
Speaking of on camera, Jim Ward made a great observation about the extra layer of stupid of the
Rachel
Christine O'Donnell Constitution. Thing.
Yeah, I mean, hearing the audio isn't enough. It's watching her face when she hears the audience laughing at her. And she's like, right? You know, I know, right?
Right? Because I'm right.
What a zinger. The words, church and state are not in the Constitution. I win.
The look on someone's face when they realize that you're not laughing with them. You're laughing. She's
She didn't realize it. That's the point.
No, as I'm saying. She just like.
She was shocked that she had not gotten him.
She thought she was the smartest girl in the room, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. I know, right?
Right? Can you believe that zinger?
With her dopey little Albert E. Newman grin. Little gap tooth grin. I shouldn't criticize. She's cute. She's adorable.
Again,
she's
a pumpkin.
You don't make fun of things for people can't change.
That's true.
She's plenty dumb on her own of her own free will. That's the thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Braces, that's
exactly. Actually, it's anti-bullying day.
You coach what they say about gap-tooth people is that they're sexual dynamos.
That's true. That's
her former neighbors are to be believed.
Damn.
The smartest woman in the world who was on the Letterman show, the woman with the highest IQ that had been measured or whatever came on and said about Dave's teeth, you're very I think it's very sexy. And she was directly referencing, you know, like centuries of historical
Lauren Hutton
mythology. You're right.
I bet she's...
Okay, Jim. All right.
Anyway,
Carl's here.
Hey.
Rhodes?
Carl Fritz. Exciting. For Media Matters for America.
That would be something for Carl Rhodes.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning.
It's lovely to see you again.
Yeah, I'm just consulting my pocket constitution.
How's that going for you?
It's good. You'd be surprised at all the stuff that I knew was in there, but apparently Christine O'Donnell did not know was in there.
Before we dive into Right Wing World, boy, oh boy, it's tough to keep up with these folks, isn't it? You wrote about a conservative radio host in Denver and Denver Post columnist Mike Rosen. He does, Jim, he does that wacky right-wing, what's it called, Carl, humor.
He's so funny.
Yes, he said he supported building Park 51, the Islamic Cultural Center in Lower Manhattan, but its construction, quote, should be followed by the hijacking of an Iranian plane right into that building and blow it to smithereens. And so then he wrote later that he was kidding. It's satire. Yeah.
He's hysterical. He blamed David Sirota and liberals for being upset with him and not having a sense of humor.
All right. Let's dive into the Right Wing World and get some more, shall we? Oh, boy. You know what? Glenn Beck with the George Soros again, and I still can't get a dime from that man.
George Soros, however, while we were like, he was wide awake. And he's obviously been busy for many, many years. I want you to watch for his editorial, because it is coming. Only a matter of time. George, do you have it written yet? It will be the end of the dollar when he writes it. He's done it with four other currencies, and each currency has collapsed.
Wow! He's caused the collapse of currencies all over the world, Carl? Huh. Why wasn't I told?
Well, he is the dark overlord of the progressive movement, if you watch Glenn Beck's program.
Yes.
That's why you need to invest in gold, survival seeds, and survivalist kits for the end of times.
Wow. Wow. Who knew that he was working on the collapse of currency? All right. Rush Limbaugh on Harry Reid.
The potential sign of difficulty for Harry Reid as he attempts to rally his base for his tough contest with Republican Sharon Angle. Now, we'll see. I'm sure the fraud and cheating has also begun.
Oh, is he referring to that Republican ad urging Latinos not to vote?
Yeah.
Is that what he's referring to?
Probably, although it seems that people like Rush Limbaugh never seem to see that stuff. They will claim that voter fraud has happened before a single ballot has been cast.
Yes.
It's what they do. It's to intimidate people into not voting, and they've turned it into an art form.
It's Acorn and the Black Panthers, clearly. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's right. As a matter of fact, the Black Panthers will be throwing acorns at people.
Yes, exactly, to prevent them from voting. Okay, Dick Morris on the Fox and the Freaks.
The independent expenditures that are going on are enormous.
Mm-hmm.
Karl Rove has done an incredibly good job in raising a massive amount of money. Really, in effect, he is the Republican National Committee these days.
Whoa.
Not Steele.
Oh!
Wow, they're admitting on the TV that Michael Steele's an incompetent boob.
Yeah, a moment of honesty on two levels. I mean, Rove is on that network so often pushing what his group is doing without identifying his role within the group. To hear Dick Morris actually fess up and say what Rove has been up to as a Fox News contributor is
yeah.
Very refreshing.
Yeah, oops,
and,
perhaps I've said too much.
For a minute, I thought he had somebody's foot in his mouth.
Hi! That's a prostitute joke.
So I went for one fat boy here. It's me.
Carl Rove on Hannity speaking.
Look, this was take it into context with this. Peter Baker writes the piece in the New York Times Magazine this weekend in which he basically says this is all about a communications failure. All these programs are good. We just have failed to communicate them properly, and that's somebody else's mistake, not mine. And it's all the fault of the Republicans because they haven't been willing to join with us in supporting these great programs. I mean, the arrogance of the man is unbelievable.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what? Did you
project much?
Yeah, did you actually hear what John McCain said, that the president has not reached out one time on anything to Republicans? You're like,
yeah.
He's right, not one time, every time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, my God. All right, O'Reilly.
Why is America so angry?
Yes, why?
There are a number of answers to that question. One of them is that folks are fed up with politically correct nonsense.
Oh.
There's no question there is a Muslim problem in the world. And if the View ladies will not acknowledge that, that's their problem.
Mm.
Because most Americans well understand the danger coming out of the Muslim world.
See, who could be making people angry?
Yes.
Talking about Tiller, the baby killer, maybe?
Who could be turning moderate Muslims into terrorists? With certain sort of rhetoric.
I get angry whenever I have Bill O'Reilly read off the teleprompter, but that's the word don't come out quick enough.
All right.
Bill O'Reilly knows exactly what he's doing here. He's missed the gravy boat that Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity have been writing for the part of a year and wants a piece of it.
Yeah, no wonder he's angry. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
Obama reaches levels of arrogance unheard of in American history. He gets any more arrogant, he'll be Napoleonic.
Yeah, how dare a black man think he can act like president just because he was elected?
It's kind of uppity of him.
Yes.
Yeah. That's exactly.
I was going to say there's another word that they'd like to be using.
Totally.
Exactly.
But they're trapped in this politically correct world.
And he's too tall to be Napoleonic, you moron. All right. Carl Frisch from Media Matters.
It's almost Kenyan.
Carl Frisch with a parting shot for Media Matters. See you next week, honey. All right, there he goes. He was using the Sports Illustrated speakerphone or sneaker phone that I sent him for his mm-hmm. birthday.
Right.
All right.
I thought it was the burger phone, the flip burger.
The burger phone.
Yeah.
Hello, Kevin in D.C. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh,
Is that that wonderful voice that I've missed for so long?
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Alabaster Angel.
Hello.
Wow.
Hello, darling.
It's so awesome when I don't know you're going to be on the show, so that's why it's such an incredible treat to see you last night.
Oh, on the Larry King Live for the hour.
Yes. I must say, I must compliment you on your, well, there's a lot to compliment you on, but
really?
To keep it clean for now, I will compliment you on your composure, because to keep your composure with the teabagger twit that you were on, it really hurts when a brother acts like a brick brain. And anyone who, I mean, this is what infuriates me. Now, you pointed out that, you know, it's ridiculous to be able to think Obama can clean up 8 years of crap within less than two. But even goes further. We've had a combined, 12 years between the two Bushes and 8 years with Reagan. So if anyone thinks that you can clean up 20 years of garbage in less than two, what do you think this is, a Walt Disney movie?
Yeah, exactly.
And I expect this idiocy from T-Bagger type, but I'm really just putting out a few, like, Bill Maher and Michael Moore are coming around belatedly saying that that's ridiculous, but they were kind of preaching. I mean, I know people are frustrated, but this is real life. There's not a single bit of legislation, even the Constitution, that was done completely finished in one swoop.
Right.
Really? Christine O'Donnell says it was.
Well, that's because it's Swiss cheese when she looks at it. It's missing a lot of parts.
Right.
And by the way, speaking of her, now please, liberals, get out there and vote. Do you really, no matter how, in quotes, disappointed you are with the Obama administration, do you really want the Angles and the O'Donnells and the Paladinos and these cretins running your life?
Yes.
Really? Seriously?
Vote anti-cretin. Absolutely. Robert Gibbs, White House.
Reminding voters what's at stake. Who has their best interest in mind, the steps that have been taken to get us out of the economic hole, I think, been the basis for what he's talked to voters about over the past couple of weeks.
There's a great article by Tim Dickinson in this month's Rolling Stone with Keith Richards in the cover. But he's been very critical of the Obama administration, and I've agreed with him on a lot of points. But this one, he's really pointing out all the stuff he has accomplished in a very short time. And it really
it's
is
kind of amazing
striking.
When you look at it all together.
We have drawn Jim Ward into our happy, clappy aura in time for the midterm. Yay!
Well, that's the thing. It would be one thing if we were dealing in this kind of I've never been a fan of the lesser of two evils concept, and many people know how I feel about that. But it would be one thing if we were closer to that, if this was somehow, you know, you're yearning for the heydays of Reagan and you know, sensible politicians on the other side arguing however stupid their arguments on either side. This is so polarized and so nuts that you're literally, you've got Dems just holding on for dear life to do something, just to keep the lights on in this country. And you've got Republicans who literally just want to dismantle any government protection that anybody has except multinational huge corporations in the Uber rich.
Yeah, like somebody, this teabagger I was on with last night, is spouting the, you know, Obamacare. It's just like, what? 30 million more people have health insurance. You can't get dropped for pre-existing conditions, and kids can stay on their parents' insurance till they're 26.
And they're screaming, where are the jobs while they're being supported by these multinational corporations who have been exporting jobs for 30 years almost, you know?
Yes.
While they're running Meg Whitman in California.
Exactly.
Clarence Thomas's wife drunk dialing again. Talk about her phone message to Anita Hill as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun, it's healthy, it's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm shaking it down. What? I can't shake it down any further.
Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, we are all wearing anti-bullying purple in solidarity in the purple rain here in Los Angeles, and here now is Hal Sparks again with his Prince impression. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I like that it takes you a while to eke it out.
Well, you have to, because it's tension. You have to build that... But I actually got my falsetto from Prince. That, which he does in a couple
yes.
of songs.
Yes. Uh-huh. He sounds.
Dogs are barking.
It is like somebody stepped on a poodle. It's just. Oh! I got him. Sorry. I didn't see him there.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Matt in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
You know, I think that it's hilarious, first of all, how these Republicans love the unlimited corporate spending on elections, except when it comes to George Soros.
Yeah.
The Republicans were ready for this ruling, and they got their spending ramped up. But I think that in the next election, 2012, you're going to see the Democratic and the liberal corporate interests much more prepared. And unfortunately, you know, it's going to be like carpet bombing with far more ads. But the profile of these ads and the message is going to be very, very different, and it's going to go in our favor.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Matt,
I still think this election might be as bad as people think.
And I was saying, well, right, and I was saying, and I've been saying that I think that even in cases like Connecticut and California, you know, with Linda McMahon and Meg Whitman, apparently, you know, even having that much money can't necessarily sell really deeply unattractive candidates.
Isn't it going to be a beautiful thing to see $150 million go to waste?
Right.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
political power.
By the way,
and Linda McMahon is sort of the perfect, you know, candidate for this Republican cycle. Just a woman kicking a man in the balls, repeatedly.
This is her whole campaign.
She is the Republican. I mean, of all the Republican mean girls, you know.
She's yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a memo that came out that health insurance, banking, oil industries met with Koch, the chamber, and Glenn Beck to plot the 2010 election, specifically around the ruling of Citizens United, and literally just went, how do we manipulate the Tea Partiers to buy a corporate agenda? So guess
by the
what?
Way, you know what I think made Linda McMahon go insane this weekend, Jim, is that Maureen Dowd. Republican Mean Girls article, because I don't think she was mentioned. She's like, I kicked a guy in the... What do you have to do
right.
to be the meanest
Hit
Republican
somebody with
girl?
A chair?
I kicked a guy in the nads.
I think that was staged.
Yeah.
Like
think?
Most of wrestling.
It's
what?
Yeah. It's fake. Ron, so are elections. Ron in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah,
hello, Ron.
Just hello. Two quick things. I am very angry, and here's why I am angry. I am angry because the Republicans and the Tea Parties, they continue to lie. Why don't you just come right on out and say what you believe? And that is because President Obama is a black man in the White House and you just can't stand it.
Yeah,
why don't you just come out and say it? Be honest and say it.
Yep.
We can deal with that. I can deal with that. But this hiding behind we're angry and take our country back.
Yeah, it's all about socialism.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
And we know what take our country. That's the code word for the black man in the White House.
Yeah. Right. Hey, Ron, I was just going to say real quick, I don't know if you heard me the other day talking about this, you know, the polling, that, you know, they're basically saying that if the black vote really gets out, this could totally upend what they're talking about in this election cycle. And I think that's going to happen, don't you? Because I think a lot of people feel the way you do.
Well, I know it's going to happen on my part, that's for sure, and the people I know. And the last point I want to make is this Rand Paul thing about him being the aqua boot and stuff like that, and everybody said, oh, there's something he did in college. If this had been President Obama, what would they be saying now?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's relevant what he did in kindergarten, apparently.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Muslim kindergarten.
They want a DNA test to see if they agree now that the birth certificate is legit. They just don't think that Obama is actually that person. Now they want a DNA test to prove that he wasn't. This is the new movement from the birther crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the idea, by the way, he was exactly right in that that's what Bill O'Reilly is talking about when he says they're sick of this political correctness. When Bill O'Reilly says that, he means he wants to use the N-word and he can't.
Yes.
Right. And he knows it's an unelectable position.
You know what I would call what they've done to President Obama? A high-tech lynching.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Queen Segway. We're going to talk about the Clarence Thomas story next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thanks to this beautiful little angel.
Stephanie Miller.
She came into my life as if out of nowhere, enchanted me beyond my wildest dreams.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour.
How much are you paying to say that?
1-800-STEPH-12. I'm a miracle.
I accidentally wore kind of a bluish-purple shirt today. I didn't do it intentionally, but I'm glad
there
I did.
There we go.
Yes, I didn't realize either. I accidentally have a purplish shirt on as well.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't told. Apparently, you told me it was on the news, but I was on the news last night, so I didn't have time to watch the news.
Having been bullied as a kid, as all radio geeks.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We are a little island of misfit toys here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
1-800-STEPH-12 the phone. George in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, George.
Hello, Mama.
Hello, baby.
I just was listening to you talk about the Anita Hill thing, and since we're on the subject of apologies, I would like to ask, on behalf of all the people in the United States of America, for an apology from the Republican asshats who, for 8 years, ran the country into the ground at great profit to them and their friends and continued to obstruct the recovery for 2 years. I want an apology from all of them to all of us. Please.
Thank you. Thank you, George.
Well said.
Well said. Smartest one. Okay.
It's interesting that that Glenn Beck has that thing about how Soros is going to write an op-ed and ruin the American currency. Well, by the way, Fox's own financial analysts were saying the one thing that's driving the price of gold up is the fear that the world is ending as we know it. And this is specifically driven by not only that guy but also Glenn Beck. And they're actually being investigated by the Congress because they're selling people a bill of goods. When you buy gold through those folks, they trick you.
No, not if you buy it through ITM Trading.
No, but I'm sure.
Please say
Stephanie Miller.
Won't you?
But
no, I have. We've actually talked about this because I've had the ITM Trading has supported our show from the beginning, and there is a difference. You're right. Glenn Beck fearmongers. He uses it to say all of the stuff you just said.
Yeah.
The country's going to collapse, and you need to do that. And that is a scam.
Yeah.
Gold is a good investment as part of your investment portfolio.
Yeah,
but
basically, they're trying to get you to buy crap gold coins and
sell
put them
everything.
In your mattress.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah, sell all your holdings, by the way. Get out of the stock market so it's easier and cheaper to buy up those stocks by the large corporations during the recession. That's not an accident either.
All right, let's get to Clarence Thomas's wife drunk dialing Anita Hill. This is the most... Can I have some hilarious comedy music?
I accept your apology. What? I didn't call you.
How hilarious is this? Who calls someone at 7:30 in the morning to ask for an apology for something that happened 20 years ago
them to apologize to
you. What? Okay. Nearly 20 years after Anita Hill accused Clarence Thomas of sexual harassment during his contentious Supreme Court confirmation hearings, Justice Thomas's wife, Ginny, called Mills Hill seeking an apology in a voicemail left at 7:31 a.m.
Wow. That's chutzpah.
How do you wake up and go,
you owe me an apology. When your face.
You've been up all night doing this. Yeah.
Virginia Thomas asked her husband's former aide to make amends. She's not understanding the whole program. Maybe if she's in a program of some sort.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're make the amends.
You're supposed to apologize.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I've had somebody, it's a long story, but that's committed sort of multiple, what's the word I'm looking for, Jim, felonies against me, ask me for an apology for something one time. Yeah. I was like,
How dare you exist?
Okay, wait, here it is. Let me try to redo it. Where's my bleep? Hang on a second. Carry the 4 divided by... give me a bleep. I can't find mine. Okay, thank you. Good morning, Anita Hill. It's Ginny Thomas. Do you think that Anita Hill immediately said, what the... I just wanted to reach across the airwaves and the years and ask you to consider something. I would love you to consider an apology sometime and some full explanation of why you did what you did with my husband. So give it some thought. And certainly, pray about this and hope that one day you will help us understand why you did what you did. Okay, have a good day.
Wow.
Really?
She's really delusional. She really thinks that Anita Hill did something to Clarence Thomas.
Yes. Yes.
By bewitching him. Mm-hmm. You harlot.
That's what
you harpy.
She said something hilarious. I can't remember when that was, a few years ago, but she said, I can only assume that Mrs. Thomas is motivated by her romantic interest in her husband and thinks that other women also find him attractive.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so Ms. Hill said she kept the message for nearly a week trying to decide whether the caller was really Ms. Thomas or a prankster. Unsure, she decided to turn it over to Brandeis campus police, who then sent it to the FBI. In a statement conveyed through a publicist, Ms. Thomas confirmed leaving the message, which she portrayed as a peacemaking gesture.
What?
She is quite the diplomat, quite
sure.
The peacemaker. We would like to make peace by having you apologize.
Right. Like when they invaded Poland. It was a peacemaking gesture.
Yeah.
So that they would...
And they were giving Poland a chance to apologize.
Yeah, listen to Pat Buchanan. We didn't want to do this. This is your fault.
They forced our hand.
They were giving Poland a unique opportunity to apologize for being all, you know, Polish and stuff and being there next to them.
It's not your fault you were born on lands that we consider ours.
Yeah.
Your fault? Just give it back.
Just apologize to us for being there now.
We here in Mitteldeutschland have decided that Ostdeutschland, meaning Poland, is now ours.
Yes. And Norddeutschland,
Lithuania,
meaning Russia.
And Latvia. Mm-hmm. And Estonia.
Ginny said, I did place a call to Ms. Hill at her office, extending an olive branch to her after all these years.
Directly into her eyes.
Has this ever happened, seriously, in your life? Because it really
spanking
is.
Her with
it's
an
one
olive
of those
branch.
Scooby-Doo moments. You're like, what?
Olive branch. It looks like a middle finger to me.
Yes.
You know what? I've decided to be the bigger person and let you apologize.
Well, she is a bigger person.
What?
Oh, there I go with ad hominem attacks.
I did plan on extending an olive branch to her after all these years in hopes that we could ultimately get past what happened so long ago. That offer still stands. Oh, she just gets more and more magnanimous.
Wow.
I would be very happy to meet and talk with her if she would be willing to do the same. Certainly no offense was ever intended.
This is the equivalent of Christine O'Donnell thinking the audience is laughing with her.
It's right. Oh, totally.
Huh? Right? I know, right?
In response to Ms. Thomas's statement, Ms. Hill said she had testified truthfully about her experiences with the future Justice Thomas, and she had nothing to apologize for. She said, I appreciate that no offense was intended, but she can't ask for an apology without suggesting that I did something wrong, and that is offensive. All right. Thank you, Anita Hill. Yeah.
Exactly. Republicans need to be explained these things. They need to...
Well,
you're wrong.
Again, these are people who think...
You think she had to blow the pubic hairs off her phone receiver before she...
Oh,
what is Clarence? Who have you been calling?
I told you. Have you been drunk dialing Anita Hill again?
You know, I'm all letto. How about a Coke?
Oh, boy. Yeah. It's all the long dong silver humor never gets old, does it? All right.
Look at
that. Is my favorite story of the day.
These people are just delusional.
Yeah. This is that whole Bill O'Reilly thing that if you question them, you're attacking their civil rights.
Right.
And if you call them out for something awful they do, you owe them an apology for embarrassing them. That's the thing.
Yes.
It's not that their behavior is embarrassing. It's that you...
How
mentioning
dare
it.
You point out that he murdered
you're
million
shaming
people.
Me.
That is so rude.
This wasn't embarrassing until you told people I did it.
Right.
Like, that's really the mentality.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Oh, boy. Okay. Speaking of crazy right-wing women, it's Sharon Engel time.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Sharon Engel time. Okay, so...
And I thought the chicken lady was nuts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. This was, she was speaking to an Hispanic students, conference
that.
Of all Hispanic students.
That should have been a clue right there.
So that's what we want, is a secure and sovereign nation. And, you know, I don't know that all of you are Latino. Some of you look a little more Asian to me. I don't know that. What we know about ourselves is that we are a melting pot. In this country. My grandchildren are evidence of that. I'm evidence of that. I've been called the first Asian legislator in our Nevada State Assembly.
By whom?
What? Does any of that make any sense whatsoever? And how do you...
Asian. Was that sort of a take on Bill Clinton was the first black president?
I guess.
Something. What?
We're a melting pot, and now we want all the brown people to melt and go away.
How does it... She's blonde.
Oh.
And yet
she's
another related story. A Republican campaign urging Latinos not to vote in Nevada was yanked from the airwaves.
Yeah, Uni Vision wasn't going for it, strangely.
Yeah. Amid an outcry...
They were going for it at first. They took the money. They took $80,000.
Well, they took the money.
They were going to air it. And then they, you know, I don't know if they'd never watched it. But man.
Or.
Wow. Yeah. Harry Reid, in response to
I really that. Don't know what my opponent was talking about. Because you all look like Nevadans to me.
Yeah. Good one.
And getting a little political here, folks. Have you noticed that every time my opponent screws up, which is quite often, she goes into her bunker. She's now canceling public events again. I guess it was her appearance at Rancho High School that kind of put him back in her bunker.
Harry Reid with some zingers.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you he retold those stories to Mrs. Reid all night, didn't he, Jim?
And then I said, she goes back in her bunker. And
I bet.
Oh, I was a zinger. Yeah. I really got her in that one.
No, it was great, though. I mean,
it was.
Fighting, to the extent that Harry Reid does that. Which is odd since he used to be a boxer. I think he'd have a little more.
Well, he is 72.
Well, there's that.
Yes.
But still, it's good to have him back.
Yeah, yes. There's a lot of boxers who know right about the time that they're 65, they shouldn't be taking those shots anymore because they're a little brittle.
And, you all look like the Vettens.
Someone
to me.
Might take
good
it.
One. Good one. Yeah. Good one, Harry Reid.
And Sharon Engel was like,
I don't know. Harry Reid looks kind of Jewish to me.
How do they not? Yeah. How do they not get into this like nonsense racial classification
stuff
hell? That they really do think about? This is the thing. They really do go, you know, this is, you know, why black people, you know, were for mating and blah, and Hispanic people because they run across the border. I mean, they literally think like this.
Along
they,
racial terms.
Yeah.
Like the Nazis with their, you know, charts of you know, profiles and bones and phrenology about that. This is what an area looks like. You look a little Polish to me.
Right, exactly.
45
There's something Slavic about your eyebrows.
Are you all Ukrainian?
45 minutes after the hour.
Dirt people, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
You know what? I'm just hall monitor on Hump Days with Hal. I just try to control the boys. That's what I do.
Asian? What is she? Oh, my God.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. Steve in Kansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I was wondering if you guys have seen this ad they're running out west. I believe it's running mostly in Nevada. It's being aired in Spanish, and it's basically telling Latino voters to stay home and not vote.
Yes, I just said that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just mentioned it.
I just joined the program, so I'm sorry.
Don't ever miss another minute again. Do you see what happens?
It's football season, and part of my job is talking to coaches, so I was on the horn with a coach.
All right.
No worries.
It just reeks of voter suppression.
Well, it was Yang.
Poll tax, the whole nine yards, we're turning into a banana republic.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, that's the way we were just reporting that it was actually yanked amid outcry over that. So
after they took the money.
So, you know, I think coaches are less important than my newscast. All right. Thank you, Steve. Coaches. Okay.
In all honesty, though, I mean, this was a legit decision. You got, you know, as much as like in our scope of thought during leading up to this. It showed up, it went away in a matter of 48 hours. But this is something they planned for weeks, shot, edited.
You don't do that.
Saw two versions of it, picked one that was worse, and intended to run it on Univision and other Hispanic. By the way, there are other Hispanic stations besides Univision, and they're going to be running it. It's also up on YouTube. They're linking it and sending that out to voters. It, you know, it's not the only window to get to
voters. Why is it saying not to vote?
Because it's saying
to send a message to
politicians that you don't believe in politicians.
They said they were going to do immigration reform, and Obama's had 16 months to do it, and he hasn't done it.
Oh, so I see. You're sneaking. They make it seem pro-Hispanic. Yeah. You need to stay home. That's the only way to send that message.
Right. And not because we've had the single most racist period in the GOP's history.
Right.
Specifically aimed at Hispanics over the last 6 months. leading up to their position on immigration reform.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not that. It's that the Democrats haven't done immigration reform fast enough, so you shouldn't vote at all.
Yes. By the by, speaking of racist laws, Jan Brewer in, you know, the
In Arizona,
the governor of Arizona. Those, we've talked about this before on the show, Jim, but the health questions continuing to persist over her. I mean, because, you know, you think, oh, is she just another Republican dopey woman when you saw that debate where she literally, I mean, how many seconds was it where she just, supposed to be the prepared opening statement. But now there's rumors that I don't even know, Alzheimer's something, but so now she's had a bandage, I guess, right above her collarbone. Which, you know, would look like a biopsy, I guess. So for the second week in a row, she's fending off rumors that she's in poor health. It's a bandage on her neck, excuse me, where they normally do a, you know, biopsy for skin cancer. I love this. Last week, the Brewer campaign declined media requests for the governor's medical records. No need to look. Nothing's to see here. Move along.
No.
Her Democratic opponent, Terry Goddard's campaign, released a letter from his doctor deeming Goddard to be in general good health, blah, blah, blah. The one-upsmanship angered Brewer's campaign manager, Chuck Coughlin, who suggested in an interview and blog post that questioning Brewer's health is as relevant to the election as raising 20-year-old rumors that Goddard is gay. What? He is married with kids.
Yeah.
So, you know. Yeah. Coughlin promptly apologized for the comment, saying he was only trying to make a point, but Goddard, who is married, has a child, called on Brewer to fire Coughlin.
Was it like at the beginning of the debate, he broke from his prepared remarks and started dancing to club music? Like that, then people would go, you know what, I think these gay rumors might have something to it. Meanwhile, she has this like 9, 10, 15 second long, however... break in thought, can't read her opening remarks, and people are concerned that this might affect her performance as
a
governor.
Look at John McCain. I mean, if candidate's health is relevant.
Yeah.
I mean, it is relevant. And I didn't know this. She's been a long-time smoker. Well, you can tell. But I didn't know that she had she suffered a nearly fatal heart attack in 1994.
Wow.
When she was serving in the state Senate there. Anyway, so, all right. Oh, here's some bad news for Sarah Palin. Obama more popular than Palin in Alaska. How's the, Julie writes, how's that screechy Mean Girls thing working out for you? A new poll shows Sarah Palin, Palin polarizing in her home state of Alaska, so much so that President Obama is more popular than she is. 38% approve of Obama, 55% disapprove. Meanwhile, 35% approve of Palin. Oh, dear.
Oops.
Interesting.
Curious, Captain.
Oh, and Kentucky, apparently Jack Conway is leading Rand Paul 49-47, which is
within
the
margin
of error, but still. That could be
the margin of error could actually push him further. Usually we assume that the margin of error brings things closer. Sometimes they bring things farther away.
Seems like there are actually some people from Kentucky who have a brain. Oh, hello.
Hey, what do you doing?
Hello, Sparks.
Unfortunately, I don't vote there anymore, but my mother does, and my father does, and my sister does, and my husband
Speaking
does.
Of Sarah Palin, you brought this up earlier, Hal, that McCain said he could not be more proud of her and the campaign she waged.
It's not the policy.
I love this. We went up in the polls after her magnificent speech at the convention. Well, yes, and then the minute she went off script and didn't have something written in the teleprompter for her.
That was over 2 years ago.
Yes, maybe Grampy's a little confused. It doesn't matter. She went up in the polls, and then you lost by a giant landslide. And that's the rest of the story.
And you're both, and you're both viewed with the same unelectable, they don't believe you have the ability to be president. Both on, I think it's a 26%.
Pushing back against political opponents and media people who say he's shifted positions, on pretty much every issue, including the ones he's had his name on. He insisted he's still the same person.
King Feingold.
He said, I consider myself a person who stands up for what they believe in.
Today.
And by they, I mean the Tea Party or whoever will get me elected.
And what is it you believe in, Flipper? Today.
They call him Flipper, faster than light.
As soon as the military tells me it's time to change the domestic politics, I will. I'll do it.
He's crazier than he.
For the record, if you go with proper usage of the pronouns that he is using and you listen to actually what he's saying, it's one of those things where he's not actually lying. It's one of these obfuscations. I'm one of those people who stands up for what they believe in. Ooh. I don't mean me as in they. I mean they
as
in my
subset of a group
whoever,
of people.
Whoever is paying for my campaign.
Checks, right.
Who at one time had stood on principle, yes.
Again, you can technically stand by that statement.
Well, if you stood on Victoria principle at some point, you could say you're standing on principle.
Exactly.
If, you know,
58 minutes after the hour. That's a weird visual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Back with Gail King next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Almost had a workplace injury there.
You stream viewers noticed Chris almost had a gave me reenaction of the Kennedy assassination.
Just, yeah,
he flipped the
back
negative,
to the left.
You know.
He just swung the microphone at Jim Ward's head like a weapon. Now there's going to be rumors on the internet about Jim Ward and why there's a bandage on his neck. Just
obviously,
like,
the microphone came from the direction of the Texas School Book Depository. Right. Of course it did. That's what you saw. Right. You saw nothing. You heard nothing.
I just don't believe that Chris Lavoie acted alone. I just don't believe that.
By the way, Linda writing, just where on Jen Brewer's neck is the bandage? She could have had carotid artery occlusion because people are wondering if that was a mini stroke that happened while she was in the debate and totally lost
that's
her.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. No, I know. My dad was supposed to have the he'd had warning signs for a stroke. So speculation continues. 7 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
Hal is here. He has a fancy new, what you call it?
iPhone app?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that you can watch the Ustream is on. By the way, 685 people in the chat room alone.
How you doing, HalSparks.com Ustream?
Pretty amazing.
Okay.
They love you.
Thank you. All right. Also, Mama on Larry King Live up in the video section of StephanieMiller.com. But we have bigger names waiting, for God's sakes. Gail King joins us now, live from Harpo. Good morning, Gail.
Hey, and you have Hal Sparks there. I like him. Hi, Hal.
Oh, hi, Gail. I like you,
know
too.
You.
I
know you.
I listen to your show in L.A.
Wow.
You
I
like
you.
Stephanie?
I know you.
You like everyone. You're the nicest woman in the world.
I know. Well, Stephanie, the one person I can say I don't like is the woman I caught in bed with my husband. I still don't like her.
And
it's been since 1993, but I'm not bitter.
Has she left you a phone message giving you the opportunity to apologize?
Yes, I know. I know, Stephanie. I was talking about that this morning. I'm thinking, why after 20 years did Virginia Thomas reach out? Do you know why she reached out? I'm really curious.
Brown liquor in your orange juice? I don't really know.
I'm very curious about why after all this time. And I love Anita's response saying, I have moved on and I ain't got nothing to apologize for. It's very interesting to me.
I honestly
Isn't
think
that
it
hilarious?
Has, I think it has to do with the Tea Party folks that she's been hanging around with.
Mm-hmm. That
and,
what?
And they're kind
that
of...
That you lose your filter, Hal?
Yeah.
You just say whatever the heck you're thinking?
Yeah. And they're all going, you're right. She does owe you an apology. Like, they're sitting around, you know, clashing about
they're
that.
Drinking at the bar. You're right. You call her tomorrow.
Call her. I'm going to call her right now. What time is it? It's 7 o'clock in the morning. We've been drinking all night.
I am fascinated by the timing is really something. I don't get it.
Yeah, has anyone ever asked you for the opportunity to apologize for something they did to you? It's just a really Scooby-Doo.
I know. I don't understand.
Yep.
Listen, I was talking to Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, as you know.
Yes.
She's making no apologies. You know, she says politics is a blood sport. 13 days and counting, and she is ready, and she feels good. I go, how do you feel so good when the numbers aren't looking so great for the Democrats?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she has an interesting take on the polls. She said the numbers are changing, and we will
it's
see.
True. That's true. Now, your fabulous show airs right here in my flagship affiliate, KTLK AM 1150. So that
also
interview.
Also known as K-Talk.
K-Talk. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
That will air later today on K-Talk.
Yes.
I listen to you every day when I hike with my doggies.
Do you really?
In the afternoon? Indeed, I do.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Because I was watching you yesterday on Larry King.
Well, it's 1 degree of media hoe separation for us.
No. Let me tell you, Stephanie, you are somebody that takes no prisoners. And I have to say, I meant to write you a note in August when you came out. Because No, I'm serious because number one, Stephanie and I, for all of Stephanie's listeners, we used to work together, and I had no idea, Stephanie. So when you came out, I go, what?
Huh?
Stephanie Miller's gay?
I thought she was just a loser.
No, I never thought that. But I had lunch the other day with Andy Cohen. You know him from Bravo.
Sure.
And Andy Cohen, as you also know, is openly gay. And I said, Andy, I just think, because I'm really heartbroken and so sick about the rash of...
Yeah.
Of that Rutgers student in particular who committed suicide after that video was released. And I said to Andy, if more prominent people would come out, because
as
you know, Stephanie, gay people are everywhere.
Really?
If more people would come out and people could see.
Right. Well, that no. I mean, that's exactly.
When you did it, I thought, wow, good for her.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, when we worked together, and by the way, I have pictures of us in my office because I live in the past.
Because, Stephanie, I thought we talked about dating.
Well, we
and
did.
Yes, I thought we talked about dating. So I go, Stephanie Miller's gay since when?
I have dated. I just didn't do it well. But, Gail, no, but you know, it's interesting you say that because I've heard you talking about that and doing a great job on it. That I think that's part of the reason with, you know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell and Prop 8 and everything that's been happening. I mean, I think that's exactly what I thought, you know, is that it's time for all of us to step forward that can and put a human face on it because that's the problem. These kids, you know, hear a lot of these Republican candidates and they think it's not okay.
Right.
You know, the Carl Paladinos of the world and the, you know, I mean, it really is, those are adult bullies, don't you think?
Exactly right. I mean, I was at CBS the other day. I was buying something. There's a National Enquirer. And, you know, you tend to, your names tend to catch your eye. So I see this headline that says, Oprah and Gail's Gay Camping Adventure. So of course, Stephanie, I buy it. And then I open it up. Yeah, let me take a look.
I was fascinated.
All I remember is
how
the s'mores.
What's that about?
And then you go, I knew it. When you open it up, you're like, see.
No, then it says BFS Brokeback Mountain Adventure. And the truth of the matter is... We did go camping in Yosemite on an upcoming episode of Oprah that you will see.
Right.
A black forest ranger had written a Harpo saying, you know, black people don't go camping. Oprah, would you please come? So enter black girl number one and black girl number two. We went to Yosemite.
Right.
And now all of a sudden it's a whole big gay camping adventure. And the point I'm making is if we were gay, this is what's so sad to me. Because we would tell you because that we don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Right.
And that's why I like it. It makes me sad that people think, A, I'm lying about it because
right.
I would never do that because there's nothing wrong with it. So when I see people like yourself who are in very prominent positions who say, you know what, I'm coming out, I'm letting you know. Was it a hard decision for you to make?
You know, not really. I think everybody has their sort of their own perfect storm or their own tipping point. And I think for me, it was a lot of things. And like I say, the fact that we talk so much about these issues, because you can't help it. I mean, marriage equality and Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, I can't continue to talk about this authentically with my audience anymore without. And I think I've just always been a private person. That was really more what they had to do with, I think, than anything. And I just realized that you know, and I think you get inspired by people. My friend Shelley Wright, the country singer who came out.
Yes, I saw her on Oprah. Yeah, she was great.
I have a dear friend, Lisa Brendy, on the, you know, the board of the Trevor Project who, you know, was out.
Yes, I interviewed somebody from the Trevor Project. I know.
Yeah,
I know. Stephanie, I'm very gay friendly here.
I've heard that.
I'm very gay friendly. Listen, can we just talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell for a minute? Are you as frustrated as I am? Because here's the judge.
I'm confused.
They make the decision. Me too. I asked Nancy Pelosi about this morning. The judge makes a decision, and now the administration says, wait, no, we need the laws to change through Congress.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, can't we just go along with the judge's ruling and change it through Congress?
Right.
No, you can't, actually.
Yes,
legally speaking, you can't.
I heard.
The reason is you have you can't have single federal judges overturning legislation, period. And that's why we have the judicial branch set up the way it is. It has to go to the Supreme Court. Ultimately, you will not find that the White House or the DOJ is fighting it in any real way once it gets to the Supreme Court. But they have to fight it at the Ninth and on the federal level. Otherwise, other pieces of legislation from, like, the Civil Rights Act to suffrage could have been struck down. Because at the time, it was easy to find a single federal judge who's against it. Just the same thing with health care right now.
Uh-huh.
It's easy to find one.
It's frustrating to me.
Well, yeah, absolutely, but
yeah, it's but But, you know, I've never heard anybody explain it as well as you did, Hal, I have
to say.
He's
the smartest boy in class and the cutest.
Oh, yes, he is.
By the way, he's the one gay exemption. Yeah, he's the one gay exemption. Everyone has a crush on Hal Sparks.
That's allowed.
You know,
I still want to do Hal. I don't know. It's just a weird exemption that
he's
you
got. He's the gay exemption.
I'm actually going to father a child with a lesbian couple friend of mine.
Oh, awesome. Listen, don't waste it all.
Take pictures.
And she wants, yeah.
Don't waste it all.
Hal, are you being serious? I don't know if you're kidding.
No, I'm dead serious. They asked me about a year ago, and that's
well, you're no David Crosby,
but they want to do it the old-fashioned way. So, I mean, that's kind of lovely.
The old-fashioned way,
really? Like sex?
Not without a turkey baster.
Hal, are you being serious? I can't see your face.
You get to have sex with one of them. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Not both of them, just to be sure.
Insist, right.
Stephanie, I'm with you. Wowee.
But Hal,
are these really good friends?
Oh, quite, yes. Yes.
Well, not as good friends as they're going to be.
Yeah.
So will you be involved in the baby's life? Will they know that you're
yes.
the dad?
Yeah, I would say so, of course.
Wow.
You'll be all over the world all the time, though, soon.
Right, exactly. Yeah, from see that guy in that weird show? Here's a YouTube clip of him pretending to be gay.
Gail, I like this kind of commitment in a man, because most guys want to be with two girls, but not to that degree.
Yeah, I know.
Not that it involves legal responsibilities later.
Gail, you and I actually do share that one element, which is the idea being that, like, there's this idea that no one would help the gay community but for other gay people. And then if you are overt and you're helping the community, people will go, well, you're probably just closeted and gay, and that's the only reason you would do such a thing. And I get that a bunch. I even had on regular...
Oh, have you had rumors about you being gay?
Oh, because of Queer as Folk. I mean, I've been Queer as Folk for 5 years.
Well, you played that role, I have to say, very well.
Well, thank you. It's my job. I also played Zoltan in Dude, Where's My Car very well, but nobody thinks
acting.
I'm in a space cult.
It's called acting, yes.
Right.
Closet Zoltan.
Exactly. I'm probably closer to that.
All right. I want to talk about your Nancy Pelosi interview again for a second, because you said something important, and we've just been citing some polls this morning, Gail, that why it's so important to get out there in the midterms and to, you know, re-energize, because we were saying Russ Feingold is pulling ahead in this Wisconsin poll. There are, you know, a bunch of these races where Jack Conway is pulling ahead of...
You know what she said? She said that every election is important, but this election is particularly important because it really is... President Barack Obama's agenda at stake. And when you put it in those terms, and she said, particularly for women, when you put it in those terms, because, you know, Stephanie, I said to her, I'd moved from Connecticut to New York, and I was on the fence. I don't know. Do I feel like driving 45 minutes back to Greenwich to vote? I don't know. And do I really want to take the time? And then I heard Barack Obama speaking about you can't sit on the sidelines. And it's almost like I felt he was talking to me, because I was having a personal dilemma while I'm telling everyone, vote, vote, vote. And I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't feel like driving back to Greenwich. With a driver, mind you.
Come on, Gail.
I don't feel like riding in the car. But then he said that. And then I thought, oh, my God, Gail, what are you doing? So I filled out the paperwork so I can vote in New York, because I really want to vote in our gubernatorial race. You know, we've got... Andrew Cuomo.
Oh, you want that? The rent's too damn high, guy.
Jimmy McMillan. Yes.
He's your new boyfriend. Well, listen, you got to listen to
Stephanie.
Gail.
I am available, but I think I'll wait.
Gail King's interview with Speaker Nancy Pelosi will air later on her show today. I have to say, your interviews are great. I heard your interview with Condoleezza Rice.
Oh, yeah.
And
I
you
like
get
her
the
with
bookings
her book.
I don't get, A, because you're nicer, and B, because apparently if you think someone's a war criminal, they won't come on your show. I don't know why. But because I heard her say on your shows, you were asking about the Tea Party movement, and she goes, well, you know, Gail, it's a grassroots uprising, and I'm like, no, it's not! It is
not! No one could have imagined that Sarah Palin would be on dying.
But you're I'm classy with a K. That's why I don't get those interviews.
Well, we have Christine O'Donnell.
Wow.
It's a grassroots uprising.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did you see her little constitutional mishap?
I did. Mm-hmm. You know, while she prides herself on knowing the Constitution, and that's how she's going to rule. That's very interesting.
Yep, absolutely.
It should be up every time, that First Amendment.
The Gail King Show airs pretty much everywhere, but more importantly, here on KTLK, on KTalk AM 1150 in Los Angeles, in the afternoons, it's 3 to 5, right, p.m. in L.A.?
Yes, it is.
I believe so. That's what I'm
thinking. I believe so, too.
She follows Randy Rhoads.
Who do I follow?
Randy Rhoads.
Yeah, male or female?
It's a she.
It's a she.
You'd love her.
She's the goddess.
Do we like her?
Oh, we love her.
She's the goddess of radio.
Okay, if you love her, I love her too.
All right. Gail King, from the Gail King Show. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Good to talk to you, Hal. Wow.
You too.
What a treat.
We'll do it on your show sometime.
Okay, right. I would love to.
Thank you, honey.
See you guys.
Gail King.
Bye-bye.
You know, Linda with an, or Stephen, excuse me, with an important point. Hi, Steph, Chris, and Jim, and Hal. Why does Ginny Thomas still have Anita Hill's phone number? That is curious.
Yeah.
How did she? It was an office number. So that was probably different.
Maybe it was the university.
Brenda's. So. All right. Yeah. 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. 20 minutes after.
Brenda's university.
It's the only number I have for her. She's changed all the other ones. She got right. She borrowed her husband's phone.
It's. Yeah. Just because it's like the buffet rule. Just because it's free doesn't mean you have to eat it. Just because you have the number doesn't mean you have to use it.
Right.
20 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do. Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Better girl. In the whole damn town. Better than old King
Kong. Meaner than the junkyard dog. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Clappy Day with Hal Sparks. Yeah, Hal, I've been saying this all along, this whole like media storyline, it's going to be a bloodbath and yada, yada, yada. Right. And again, we don't know what's going to happen. That's why it's important to get out. But, you know,
things
some
are
breaking
starting
news.
To turn around.
Yes, this morning, Conway pulling ahead of Rand Paul in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. This one just in recent polls show Lisa Murkowski running neck and neck with Wolf candidate Joe Miller and Democratic candidate Scott McAdams. T and then a he.
Interesting.
He's going to have to send his thugs to arrest somebody.
Right.
Joe Miller.
You think that the Alaskans did respond well to a legit journalist being detained by a private security force by one of the candidates?
Yeah.
For asking questions on public land at a public event?
Yeah.
Because he believes in freedom.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He wouldn't get in there and side with giant corporations and then allow their private security firms to... wiretap Americans.
He will take no further questions because they tend to make him look like a big fat hypocrite.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Gillette, look into it.
Wolf Kennedy has to be very careful. Sarah Palin comes around. Yes. You might shoot him.
Oh, also, very good news. Future husband Russ Feingold pulling ahead in Wisconsin. Jerry Brown and Barbara Boxer ahead. Again, a lot of tight races, but Harry Reid ahead in Nevada. So
it's trending well, and Democrats tend to procrastinate. So
I also think that there's tend to be like anger about not getting what we wanted. So
did Gail King just admit that she was concerned about having to get driven in Greenwich to vote?
Oh. Yeah,
but she finally.
Ride in the limo.
All the way to Greenwich, Connecticut.
To vote.
That's all right. But Gail King, God bless you. She's gotten with it. Registered to vote. Ready to go. Fired up. Ready to go.
They don't have an Oprah dome. They don't have an Oprah dome. Doesn't she have a special room that like vibrates like the thing that took Superman's powers where if Oprah or anyone Oprah knows can go in there and do anything they want? Like they can teleport to Europe or they can vote or they can, you know.
That's one of the geekiest things you've ever said.
Touch all their money.
You know, I went, now that we're name dropping, I went to the fundraiser at Oprah's, you know, she has a little shack in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Well, Montecito, technically.
Yes. But I went to that, the fundraiser for Barack Obama when he was running, when he was, back when.
Hmm.
And I went up and talked to Gail. She was sitting near Oprah. We were, you know, because Stevie Wonder was playing, whatever, and talked to her because we co-hosted the show together. And then I went to, she said, say hi to Oprah. And I tried to tap Oprah from behind, and she has private security people who almost broke my hand. They were like, not from behind. Don't approach Ms. Winfrey.
You in an Aikido lock. Dislocated your shoulder.
Chris, why don't I have Stephanie Miller cops? Why don't I have my own private security force?
You're looking at it.
Great, you in your lavender shirt today for anti-bullying. What are you going to do about it?
Hey, you stop that right now.
Yeah, cut it out.
Senator Patty Murray in Washington. Senator Patty Murray. That was me again.
Wow.
Is that an echo?
For all those TV pundits and skeptics out there who say there's an enthusiasm gap, I got four words for them. Come to Washington State.
I was hoping she was going to say, I got your enthusiasm gap ready. But that's me.
That's more than four words.
Danny, in Kentucky. Hey, Danny.
Hey, hello. Hello to my reason for buying satellite radio. I love you guys.
Thank you, baby.
Hey,
Let me ask you a question. If Ms. Thomas really wanted to get a hold of Anita Hill, why did she call her office at 7:30 on a Saturday morning?
Because let me say it for you. Glug, 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 glug.
Yeah,
because
you've been drinking all Friday night. And that was the only number that Anita Hill hadn't changed that was still in her husband's phone. Because all the other four didn't work.
When what you know, even in a drunken stupor, is hugely inappropriate. You're like, I don't want to talk to her. I'll just leave a message.
Right,
I don't want to
actually
get the person.
I don't want to talk to her. She scares me.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
James Woods promised to introduce me to
Stephanie Miller.
But instead, he introduced me to Danny Bonaducci. I tell you, that guy looks like a dog turning 30.
Was that Lori Allen?
I don't know, our good friend Lori Allen.
You sound like her.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with House Parks. Mm-hmm. In progress. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, here's the breaking news. I'm going to get my girl parts checked this morning.
What?
It gives you an opportunity, Jim, to do my eggs coming out. Julie in Seattle writes, Steph, between the jokes, one gets the impression you might actually be going through the change. That's our 60s mom used to discreetly call it. I pass along the latest study on how hormones give you the cancer. That hormone replacement nonsense is just more big pharma crapola. You'll get over the soaked sheets, weepy drinking binges, endless blubbering over your lost womanhood to anyone who will listen, yelling abusively at those nearest and dearest, and Chris and Jim, too, in about 6 months. Whatever you do, don't let Suzanne Summers convince you that natural is safer, to say nothing of the her hypodermic pokes to the, you know.
Hoo-ha.
To the hoo-ha.
Hmm.
Yeah. For some reason, that seems
maybe she's just doing that for fun.
Yipe.
I am, and she sends along the seven dwarves of, I'm going to say perimenopause. Itchy, bitchy, sweaty, sleepy, bloated, forgetful, and psycho. Yeah, pretty much it.
Uh-huh.
All right, you know, any Republican, it's hard to pick one, any Republican candidate, but when Hitler comes up in the Google search, Jim, I got to go with that one. Georgia's Republican state Representative John Yates has a position on immigration almost nobody would agree with. He wants U.S. border agents empowered to shoot to kill. Asked to justify that, he said, illegal immigrants are enemies of America who must be dealt with severely. Stopping Hitler was worth the price, he said. Mm-hmm. Illegal immigrants, Hitler.
So the guy who's mowing your lawn is Hitler.
Yeah.
Hitler.
And, and we're surprised that they don't want Hispanics to vote this time around, that they are insisting that Hispanics not vote this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's my favorite.
Yes. Right-wing hypocrites!
Headline, Republican legislator who crusaded against college sex ed classes owns company that sells kinky sex gadgets. In the winter of 2009, Georgia state legislator Representative Calvin Hill led a high-profile campaign. Oh, perhaps you should take your organ out for this, Chris.
Right.
Against the teaching of public university courses that dealt with sexual health and related topics. He was joined by a group of other conservatives who sought to end the teaching of courses dealing with topics such as male prostitution and gay history. And some of his acolytes even called for firing professors who taught those courses. He even appeared boasting about an award he received for leading battles to shut down courses dealing with sexuality. Our public colleges are not the place for our young adults and future leaders to experiment and experience these types of sexually...
Or dabble, as our numbskull caller from the first hour said.
Because they're not doing it if they don't hear about it in class.
That's what it is.
He's
ignorance
apparently
is the same as innocence.
Fine making a buck off it, however. The company he serves as CFO of sells numerous sex gadgets and gay pride paraphernalia through the company. These products include stress relievers in the shape of male sex organs and gay pride flag lapel pins. You know what he said?
The lady doth protest too much.
Well, you know what he said? He said because they sell so many products, one can hardly be aware that one happens to sell, you know,
just slipped under the radar.
Yeah.
See, so with 600,000 products, there's always a possibility that something slips through. Without lube. It's certainly nothing we would sell knowingly.
No. because I accidentally sell things all the time.
He said he sees no relationship whatsoever between his anti-sex advocacy and the profit he makes partially by selling sex toys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What? I sell what?
It's some sort of cerebral aberration that they have, where
it's a scotoma, can't see it.
It's almost like you split personality.
Mm-hmm.
It's like multiple personalities.
You ever been looking for your keys and they're on your dresser and you're looking at all the stuff and they're right in front of you and you cannot see them. You're looking for your keys.
They always say when they get caught in the most literally dictionary definition of hypocrisy, they're like, I don't see the hypocrisy.
I don't see my keys. It's right there on the dresser.
Like they have the corpus callosum severed between the two hemispheres of the brain. Mm-hmm. So the right hand literally doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
Uh-huh. All right.
Somebody on the live blog says, I'm so steamed at Hitler. He did a lousy job of mowing my lawn.
Right. Okay. Oh, speaking of the crazy candidates, Carl Palladino.
My critics, they want to say I'm angry. No, I'm passionate about saving New York.
Yeah, I'm passionate about saving from crazy asshats.
Yeah,
threaten to take people out. I hate those bastards.
You know, Jimmy McMillan could teach us all a thing or two. If you're going to be a crazy asshat, at least be entertaining.
Someone say I'm a one-inch tenant, but it all boils down to one thing: rent. It's too damn high.
Thank you, Mr. McMillan.
There's a campaign slogan.
Rent. It's too damn high.
Well, he's right.
He's right. Rand Paul,
he may be a single
damn high.
Yeah. He may be a single issue candidate, but he's
that's
right. Or and he has a rap song. And, you know,
really?
Wow. If you don't have a rap song, what's the point of running?
I'm sure an Angle doesn't have one of those. It sounds kind of Asian, actually.
Sure, she'll get one. Uh-huh. You know, let's move to a celebrity stack. Hal Sparks. Hal Sparks, a celebrity, and he has a new iPhone app.
Yeah.
Yay.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Celebrity and technology stack collide.
It's the best way to watch Hal Sparks, the Ustream with Hump Days with Hal.
It does look
incredible.
Where
you can see the lovely and talented Steph wearing her purple-ish shirt on Spirit Day.
It's anti-bullying day.
Yep. It's Spirit Day, everybody. It's hashtag Spirit Day on your Twitter to remind people to fight bullying and
so
remind
people the crap out of a bully.
Yes.
And we are experiencing purple rain here in Los Angeles currently. And now here once again is Hal Sparks.
He's going to warm up for that.
If I was your girlfriend, would you let me dress you? Do all the things only best friend can. That is your man.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I can't
tell.
No,
you can't ever stop. Once you start, it's like an Irish accent. Once you start doing Prince.
You can't get out.
You can't get out.
They're stuck.
All right, wondering, here's something here's a high-tech thing you need to be aware of, Hal. There's a strain of mobile malware, the phone creeper. Have you heard of this? It's an SD memory card. It can be invisibly controlled with text message commands to steal phone users' message logs or contacts, turn on a phone's microphone, track its location, or remotely lock the device. It also has a more unique and far more juvenile function, a cellular whoopee cushion, the Chet Stryker fart to use to any user with the app installed on the phone will emit a... In opportune times.
You know, I've thought that if you wanted to create the greatest, and this is coming from someone who streams most of their life, so we really wouldn't be afraid of it. If you wanted to create the greatest hack ever, you would create a program that turns on everyone's webcam all at once. Like, if you have a webcam on your camera, on your laptop or your computer, it turns on, and blast it to a website where there's just thousands of you. You can just click on anybody's image and watch anybody against their will.
Yeah.
Turn the light off and turn the camera on. End of conversation. You want to talk about...
Creepy.
That's why I have a Band-Aid over my camera.
Totally. I know tons of people who do that.
Not on the laptop. But
yeah, because...
That's usually closed.
Right. When shenanigans are going on.
Right. Tom Bosley.
Passed away,
And he's not from Charlie's Angels. That's Bosley, the character.
Yes.
This is the dad from Happy Days, Tom
Robert
Bosley.
Billingsley, Tom Bosley.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's every TV mom and dad. Chris, who is your TV mom if Britt Eklund passes away?
No,
passed away?
It was Brett Summers. Brett Summers raised me.
Yeah, because you were a little
latchkey
husky boy.
I was a fat latchkey child with no friends except for Brett Summers.
What? No, Charles Nelson.
Oh, goodness. All right.
Yeah, Charles Nelson really also raised me.
I thought I was going to marry Hall Lind. All right.
Fat.
All right. Now, Hal Sparks, an expert in sexting. Is your hilarious sexting routine on Charmageddon?
It is, as a matter of fact. And it is also, you can watch it just on my YouTube page.
P. Diddy claims there is an art to sexting. I'm a sex texter myself. He said I'm the perfect spokesman for that. This is an art. This is a relationship men and women have had since the beginning of mobile devices. Well, people just did it differently before there were mobile devices, I suppose. But it's hard. It's hard by carrier pigeon.
Hello? Clarence, is that you again? No, it's his wife. Sorry. I'm blocking this number.
Probably, you know,
because
the mood was... When you had to send the messages by, like, horse-drawn wagon, probably the mood passed by the time they got it. But all right. He prefers to use the new BlackBerry to send racy pictures of himself because they show him at his best. He said on these BlackBerries, there's a certain angle. It gives you such an increase in size and width that after you take the picture.
Dude. Well, apparently Brett Favre didn't find out about that.
Yeah.
He didn't have that app.
Come on.
Brett Favre.
He didn't have the Maximizer app, apparently.
Right.
All right. You know what? I have a dream for the midterms, and that is that Randy Quaid and his wife somehow get on the ballot somewhere as a teabagger candidate.
Oh, my God. That would be beautiful.
They're so teabagger candidates, aren't they?
Except they wouldn't get the motel owner vote, but other than that, they'd be fine.
Yes. Delisted, writing the Quaids are wanted again. Randy and Evie Quaid were supposed to show up in court in Santa Barbara today. Guess what? They didn't. Like, they were going to show up anyway. It's Randy and Evie Quaid. If you whisper, show up at court at 9 a.m. on Monday morning in their ear, they'll hear this. Fat marmots working for the government are trying to steal your identities. So instead of rolling their crazy asses into court, they're up in the hills digging holes and looking for fat marmots. E! News reports that Cousin Eddie and his bride of lunacy are facing arrest after they were truant for a court hearing. The judge put a $50,000 warrant over their heads at their next hearing scheduled for October 26th. If the judge really wants the Quaids to show up on October 26th, she'll leave a trail of fat marmots from Circle K. Crazies love Circle K to the courthouse. It's the only way. Just a little tip for the judge.
Okay.
The crazy Quaids.
Right.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour, Samantha Ronson is stealing our white women is the headline.
Well, yours.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun, it's healthy, it's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get it, because I have a Christina Aguilera story. Okay.
What?
Just when you thought...
a minute.
The superficial,
yummy.
Jim, this is a squeezy story for you. Just when you thought you had a crack at the now single Christina Aguilera, word continues to pour in that Samantha Ronson already has her scorpion hooks in her, because lesbians have those, a kid on the bus told me. Not only was Sam spotted leaving Christina's house the day she announced her separation from Jordan Bratman, the two have been spending a lot of time together, much to the chagrin of Lindsay Lohan. Oh, Jim, this
Lindsay's
is a chick
got
fight.
Nothing but chagrin.
This is a chick fight you may have to break up.
I didn't figure she had any chagrin left after.
Christina's been friends with Sam for a while. Like, they all went to Cabo in September with Nicole Richie. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Sounds just like my life. But they were hanging out more in recent months, and they created a new posse of girls that Christina hung out with. So
what?
Started... You know what? I'm not. For punishment, I'm not doing the rest of that story now. Okay. Boy George is enjoying time alone in jail and is not sure he wants to leave.
Sure.
You know what? I think he is going to chain someone else to his torture dungeon wall so that he might go back in.
Next to a pile of cocaine.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, that was my favorite dumb crook stack, remember?
Again.
He called the police when he had coke in his apartment. He's like, don't look anywhere if he was missing something. And he goes, but not back there where the coke is. Don't look there. No, next to the cocaine is where the thing is that's missing.
Usually British cops will do that. That's probably why he's confused. Like, sorry. Then is this where the cocaine is?
Oh.
Because
not aware.
We really like to stick to just the crime we're here for.
No, we're not.
Don't want to bother you. Do you have any other crimes we should also
avoid?
We're
authorized to investigate
Jim
any
Ward,
other crimes.
See if you can talk the lovely Mrs. Ward into this. Cindy Crawford takes pole dancing classes to keep her marriage alive.
Oh.
Maybe you'll suggest that tonight over dinner. She said, let's see. They've been happily married for 12 years. They go through dry spells, but they work to keep the spark.
So actually, she was dancing on Lech Walensky. That was Walenska.
She said, we're not people who talk 20 times a day, but I need to check in more than Randy does. I'm the woman. Isn't that true with my, I mean,
Walenza. Walenza, that's how you pronounce it.
He'd be happy to never talk about the relationship again.
Yes.
Wouldn't any man? Does any man actually want to talk about the relationship ever?
Yep.
No.
I like to. I do. It may be part of being gay adjacent, but it's true.
Hmm.
I have no problems with it.
Really?
I've always been the communicative one.
Hmm. You like the checking in? Mm-hmm. What you doing? What you thinking about?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I do.
Okay. We missed the story yesterday, Chris. Justin Bieber, because on Anti-Bullying Day, I think this is a good day to do this.
Right.
In our purple solidarity, here in the purple rain, in Los Angeles. Justin Bieber got into trouble at a laser tag center.
Yeah.
After a 12-year-old boy complained the singer hit him. Bieber came to the facility with two bodyguards and was playing a game of laser tag. If you're going to play laser tag, you should have bodyguards.
Mm-hmm.
If only I had had bodyguards when I was playing battle ball in Catholic school.
Totally.
According to DMZ.com, Bieber was the victim of homophobic bullying. Is he gay?
No.
See, that's the thing with bullying. With kids, it's just the perception that you might be gay or different in some other way. Anyway, Bieber became frustrated when the boy taunted him, but Bieber says he did not strike him.
He's not gay. He's just very, very pretty.
Mm-hmm. He looks like a lot of lesbians, which is why there is a Lesbians Who Look Like Justin Bieber website.
Yes.
All right. The other breaking news, of course, in the gay rights battle. So this is exciting and yet confusing, Hal, as we talked about earlier.
Right.
A federal judge formally refused on Tuesday to let the Pentagon reinstate its ban on openly gay men and women in the U.S. military while it appeals the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. President Obama insisted he stands by his campaign pledge to end it, but he had urged the judge to allow more time for a political remedy to the issue rather than a court-imposed
one. We have a little bit of breaking news on that news.
Some breaking news is breaking on my broken news.
The Justice Department has just now filed a motion to stay Don't Ask, Don't Tell court ruling pending appeal.
Yeah.
Which is, Hal, you were being the legal expert of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Guess what, kids?
Which I just made you. This is going to put people like Dan Choi, who just, went to a recruiting station yesterday, in a weird legal gray area.
Exactly. And that's the Justice Department has to do this so that no federal law can be overturned by a single federal judge.
Mm-hmm.
It has to go to the Supreme Court. Now, even if the White House agrees with it, they need to drive it up to the Supreme Court so that the three branches operate equally instead of, it would be the equivalent of, all our complaints about the filibuster, like single senators doing anonymous holds. This is eliminating a similar situation on a judiciary level.
Well, this is why gay rights groups, even up to yesterday, were telling service members not to reveal they're gay because of this. They don't want them to then find themselves in trouble.
Limbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about the married gay couples out here in California, but they're in this weird legal limbo
is
ridiculous.
I think Dan Choi is in a special area with this, which I think is very helpful and maybe the grounds for the larger unconstitutional fight, in that he is able to say, I re-upped. He's okay with being out and being kicked out, and he's been a force and a voice. He's got other options in his life, and he can speak on behalf and be the test case. He has the safety and security to be the test case because he's already chosen to take this fight on. So hopefully this will help lay some legal groundwork.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, it's very uneven, and it needs to be a congressional act. And the White House has been pushing for this. The Dems have been avoiding it since the 90s.
What we've been talking about today are happy, clappy news that, by the way, somebody else just pulling, Joe Sestak is now breaking ahead well as what they're telling me. But not, again, all of these races tight, got to get out and vote, but... Because people have been saying, how is this ever going to get done? Because it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be all Republicans and Don't Ask, Don't Tell. This is one of the reasons you need to get out and vote. Yes.
Right.
And also because of the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, my God.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Yes. U.S. Among the many lies told by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce recently, the chamber lobbyist said that his organization's foreign affiliates are only comprised of American companies doing business abroad. No. In fact, the Chinese AmCham is comprised of Chinese firms. The AmCham in Russia comprised of Russian state-run companies. AmCham of Abu... Abu Dhabi is composed, same thing.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, the U.S., in addition to sharing staff members, the Chinese AmCham has worked closely with the U.S. Chamber and the Chinese government to sponsor a series of seminars in America to teach American businesses how to outsource jobs
right,
to China.
Curious that.
Hmm.
Yeah, teabaggers, that's what you're fighting for.
Where are the jobs, John Boehner?
Jobs in America are so yesterday.
Apparently.
The head of, one of the heads of the Chamber was actually on one of the weekend talk shows talking about the benefits of outsourcing and how
you get a TV show based on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works.
Wow.
Hey, here's another what an incompetent boob Michael Steele's is story. In recent weeks, a growing number of Republicans have voiced support for the idea of shutting down the government if they win control of the.
That's because they don't know how to run a functioning one. So.
However, RNC Chairman Michael Steele, apparently oblivious to the words of his own party's candidates, or he said today, or excuse me, yesterday on Fox News, he hadn't heard of any candidates calling for a government shutdown.
I don't think anyone's talking to Michael Steele anymore.
Well, here they are. Representatives Lynn McMorland, Steve King, Todd Tiert, Joe Miller, Jim DeMint, and Newt Gingrich. Those would be, other than those.
I worked out so well before for the shutdown of the government, so I'm going to do it again, frankly.
Yeah, that worked out for ya.
Regular.
All right, that's
before
it.
Before I marry another bimbo, frankly.
That's it for us. Oh, Rob Reiner on tomorrow?
Cool. Wow.
Yay.
Jeez, me, Dad.
Yay.
Stifle.
HalSparks.com is the website. That's it for us today. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.